The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I welcome you to God's presence this morning. And I want to believe that you are not tired of worshiping and praising God, just like we do every time we have the opportunity. The Bible says, let he that has breath, let him praise the Lord. My prayer is that God will never take away your breath in Jesus' name. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. If I were you, I would say louder, amen. I welcome you to God's presence this morning. And I trust God that nobody will leave here the same in Jesus' name. I want to thank the drama for their short playlet this morning. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Divine intervention for greater works and exploits. Divine intervention for greater works and exploits. Don't forget that we are in our month of greater works and we are in our month of exploits. And I trust God that everyone here will be a candidate of exploits in Jesus' name. What is divine intervention? Divine intervention simply means supernatural involvement of heavenly forces in the affairs and the situation of a man. For a change of story of that man or group of men. I take it again. What is divine intervention? Divine intervention means supernatural involvement. Someone say supernatural involvement. Just like you said it, supernaturally God will involve himself in your case. Supernatural involvement of the heavenly, that is, involvement of forces that are not of this world in your matter. Involvement of power that is not of this world. Involvement of strength that is not of this world in your situation. That is divine involvement. It also means to assess, divine intervention also means to assess help, rescue, support from heaven. To assess help. Somebody say help. To assess help. To assess rescue. To assess support from heaven. Our God is a God of divine intervention. It is in his character to intervene in our situation. Briefly, because of the shortage of time, I'll be showing you some examples of men that assess divine intervention. Number one, we'll be starting this morning with the children of Israel. The children of Israel were in captivity for 400 years. They were buffeted. They were cheated. Their inheritances were being taken over on a continuous basis by their master, the Egyptians. But in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 7, God heard their cry. And I know somebody's here today. God is going to hear your cry. Exodus chapter 3 from verse 7. Exodus chapter 3 verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. That is, I am aware that they are in a sorrowful situation. I am aware that they need intervention. Let's go on now. Verse 8. I'm still going to verse 9 also. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land. Out of that land, onto a land that is large. Somebody is here this morning, God will take you to a large land. Amen. Onto a land flowing with milk and honey. Onto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I am coming to deliver you. I want to rescue you. Where you are is not where you are supposed to be. There are lands that are meant for you. There are situations that you should already be in charge. But it's unfortunate you are not in charge. Like what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, I have seen an evil under the sun. The kind that proceeded out of the mouth of the ruler. I have seen princes that are walking on the bare floor. And I have seen servants walking on horseback. That should be Ecclesiastes chapter 5. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches are kept for owners thereof to their hurt. That is, I have seen something that is not meant to be. And somebody is here today. Whatever is not meant to be in your life, God is going to intervene dramatically this morning in the name of Jesus. If I were you, I would say a louder amen. Amen. Your amen is not an encouragement to the pastor. Your amen is a sign that you believe what God is saying. And somebody is here today, God is going to answer you. Amen. The scripture I just quoted now is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5. Say, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler. I have seen an evil under the sun. I have seen a situation whereby those that should occupy the ground are not, occupy the nation are now in relegation. From today, you are going to take your place. I say, from today, you are going to take your place. From today, you are going to take your place. Number two, example of divine intervention. And you know that how God delivered the children of Israel and brought them out eventually and took them to the land of promise. You will enter your land of promise. You will possess your riches and your wealth. Number two, example of divine intervention is Sarah and Abraham. The Bible says that Sarah was already old and she was barren. Genesis chapter 11 verse 30. She was barren. She was trusting God for children for a very, very long time. She became very, very old. And Sarah was barren and she had no child. And then they were looking up to God. This is to let you know that it is never late for God to intervene in any circumstance. It is never late for God to intervene in any situation. This was an old woman. Yet, the God that can do all things stepped in. And in Genesis 21 from verse 1, the Bible says that God remembered her. God will remember you today. God will remember your family today. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken and gave her a son. And they called the name of the son Isaac. Your Isaac is coming today. Your Isaac is coming today. True divine intervention. Let me hear you say a big amen. Number three, example of divine intervention is the story of the wall of Jericho. God had promised the children of Israel that they were going to access a massive land, the land of promise. And there was no way this was going to happen because there was a wall called the wall of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6 from verse 1, I know you know that story very well. And the Bible says that they began to go around this. They began to go around this wall. They began to go around this wall. And then on the seventh day, someone said the seventh day. On the seventh day, they went around it seven times. And they blew the trumpet. And the Bible says in verse 10, and Joshua had commanded people saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. That is, be calm. You don't need to shout. When I'm ready to let you shout, you will shout. And in verse 20, Joshua 6 verse 20, the Bible says, so the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass, it will come to pass in your life. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city. You will take what belongs to you. In a minute, stretch your two hands forward. Everything that should be in these two hands that you still don't have till now, you are taking them today in the name of Jesus. You are taking them today in the name of Jesus. You are taking them today in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? You are taking them today in the name of Jesus. And number four, example of divine intervention is the story of Jairus and Jairus' daughter. Jairus had only one child, a daughter. This story, this account is in the book of Luke chapter 8 from verse 41. The Bible says that this child was sick and Jairus ran to Jesus. Luke 8 from verse 41 and 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter. The only blessing that you have in a particular area, the devil will not steal it away. What you are looking at that is making you happy, the devil will not take it away. No, the devil is very wicked. The Bible says in John 10:10 that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He knew that this daughter is the only asset of this man. This man was a rich man, a ruler, but had only one child. And then he proceeded to the house of the man to strike that only child. And the Bible says, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age. And she lay dying. She was dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Jesus was already going there. People choked him. He could not go there at that particular instant. If you go straight to verse 49, you will see that all of a sudden, while they were there, they came to tell him, they said, don't bother the master again. This girl is already dead. While he yet spoke, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying unto him, thy daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master again. Don't trouble Jesus again. This girl is already dead. Jesus said, relax. Turn to your neighbor and say, relax. Your blessing is not dead. And when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. They began to laugh. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the child and the maiden. And all wept and beheld her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. He said, I don't bother, child. I'm here. I'm here for divine intervention. Don't bother, she's not dead. They began to laugh. The same people that were laughing. It's amazing how somebody can be crying and laughing almost at the same time. It shows that they were actually mocking the lady. They were actually mocking her. Because how can you be crying and at the same time, this same second, the same minute you turn it to laughter again? At least there should be a gap between it. And they laughed him to scorn. They said, ah! They wipe their tears. They rubbish. Somebody that's already stinking. A girl that is already dead. A girl that is already gone. You are laughing. You are saying that she's sleeping. Is this how to sleep? Have we not slept before? I know what Jesus did. He cast them out. He said, all of you, go out. Get out of here. And took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, that is young lady, rise. And her spirit came again. Whatever is dead in your life that makes men to laugh at you, it will come out today. It will come back to life today. That organ of your body that is already dying, that people are looking at it, that when this thing eventually dies, we will be there to mock you. They will be shocked that the thing will begin to work perfectly. That eyes, it will work perfectly. That ears will hear very well. That leg that has arthritis, it will begin to work very well. Let me hear you say a big amen. The next time they are expecting you to be crying because of menstrual cramps, they will be shocked it will not happen. You will be enjoying your life. You will be watching film. You will be relaxed. There will be no more tears on your face. Let me hear your loudest amen. The spirit came again and she arose straightly and he commanded them to give her meat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is another very good story of intervention. And my prayer for you today is that at the very point when you need Jesus, Jesus will walk into your life. I say at the very point where you need Jesus, Jesus will walk into your life. In the course of this week, one of our members here came to me and was just smiling. Ah, I've never seen him smile like that. He was just smiling. He was just smiling. What is it? He prostrated. I said, get up. What is it? I said, no, I can't get up. Get up. What is it? I can't get up. He said, yesterday, some people came to attack me in the night. He said, and as they were attacking me, you just walked in. I wasn't the one that walked in. Jesus walked in. I used my face. And he says, I attacked them and dislodged them. He says, so that is giving him excitement. And he said, it happened like 2 times in the course of 1 night. They came first time. Maybe they came with one set of army set. And then they were destroyed. Then they went to gather themselves again. They went to regroup. They went to look for the best army. And Jesus, the master, walked in again. Anybody that wants to kill you, Jesus, the master, will come in and strike them. In Exodus 14, verse 14, he says, I will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. I will ensure that I fight for you. You just look, you just do like this and pose. You know how children do when their father is defending them? Say, Maybe you were doing like this before. A single hair of your body will not be extracted. A single hair of your body will not be extracted. Because God himself will continue to protect you. Number five, example of divine intervention is an example of Peter. Peter was in a dilapidated state in Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 7. He has suffered. He was an expert fisherman, yet he caught nothing. He was an expert man in fishery technology, yet nothing can be brought forth for this man. And the Bible says, Jesus went to his sheep, and it came to pass in verse 2, Jesus used his sheep to preach, and then he said to him, yeah, lunch, and were washing, these guys were already washing their nets, because they had suffered all night, nothing was caught. In verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out again to the deep, and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net began to break. Somebody say amen. Amen. You are getting a net breaking miracle today. Amen. This was a case of pure intervention. Peter's wife must have been waiting at home. When is my husband going to come back with good fish? For him to have slept overnight there, it means that at least nothing less than 100 pieces of fish is coming. But he was frustrated. He had tried all the technology that he knew how to try. Nothing worked. But suddenly the master walked in and gave a clear instruction. Launch again into the deep. And Peter said, we have tried. But because you have said it, I will do it. And then his life changed. Your life will change. I say your life will change. And the level of blessing that will come to you, you will not be able to eat it alone. There are some level of blessings, if you have not yet gotten to a level whereby your blessing is so massive that it's been distributed and you cannot eat alone, you are not yet blessed. It is only tiny blessings that you eat alone. Massive blessing can't be ate alone. Hello. Hello. He called on them. Oh yeah, come and take. Come and enjoy. Come and take. Come and help. Come and assist. That is the level God is taking you to. Your business will no longer be a one-man business. It will become a massive business. Your amen is local. Let me hear you say a good amen. Quickly, this morning, what provokes this divine intervention? I just showed you divine intervention from north to south, east and west. I showed you from Old Testament, from New Testament. What provokes this divine intervention? It is called the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith. God relates with us on the platform of obedience of faith. You don't get reward for faith until you respond to the demands of faith. And the foremost demand of faith is obedience. Somebody say obedience. In John 2 verse 5. John 2 verse 5. He said, whatsoever God telleth you to do, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, whatsoever. Whatever the commandment of Jesus is to you, do it in faith. Many of us have become so familiar with God and his servants that any of the instructions of God becomes nothing to us. We have heard it before. What's the big deal? What is the big deal? What is special? It is in our obedience of faith that God changes our level. Your inability to obey God is an evidence of your unbelief. And so you must never get used to God. God has nothing to gain or to lose by your obedience. You are the one that has something to gain or to lose. God is God. God is not a man that should lie, neither is the Son of Man that should repent. He can never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you obey his commandment, you are the one that will gain. And you will gain. I say you are going to gain. I say you are going to gain. In my place. You have not been expecting something. In my place, they say when a woman goes to the market, when she comes back, she comes for profit. Anytime you trade with God and you obey his commandment, what you need, what will happen to you is to return back with profit. If an instruction is given to you by God or through his servant, and your divine intervention is sure on the platform of your obedience. Quickly this morning, important facts about the obedience of faith. Important facts about the obedience of faith. Number one, obedience is not a punishment. To obey God is not a punishment. When you obey God, you are not being punished. You are being polished. Obeying God is not a punishment. It is a polishment. Obeying God is not a punishment. It's a polishment. Number two, facts about obedience of faith is obedience to God must be done willingly and not grudgingly to get the benefits. Many say, I have faith. Many say, I love God. But to obey God is now done grudgingly. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, if thou be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Any obedience that is not done willingly, and that is not done quickly, and that is not done happily, is not obedience. Obedience must be done willingly and not grudgingly. If an instruction is given and it's not done with utmost sincerity, with confidence in God and the people or the persons that gave you the instruction, if it's not done willingly, there is no blessing in it. Number three, fact about obedience of faith is that every test in the school of faith centers on obedience. Every test that God will give to you has to do with this, the test of obedience. Every single test God will give you is a test of obedience. God wants to test your timeliness of obedience. God wants to test how well you are going to obey him. Every test of your faith is a test of your obedience. Every test of your faith is a test of your obedience. Number four, or D, important fact of obedience of faith is God always demands obedience before he will deliver his blessings to you. Before God will bless you, you must obey him first. Before God will promote you, you must obey him in faith first. If you want God to help you to pass an exam, you must ensure that when you do the exam, you don't cheat. If you cheat, it doesn't help. It doesn't need to intervene again. You have helped yourself. If you want God to assist you to make it, and you are still going to Babalawo, or going to Mamalawo, or Antilawo, or Nebolawo, or any occultic person to collect power, or to collect charm, no need for God to help you. You have already helped yourself. There is no more assistance needed. You have already assisted yourself. God forbid that we are coming to church and at the same time going to places. We have so much, all sorts of things in Christendom now, where people mix black and white. Where people mix things together. Mix anointing oil with juju oil. Mix the two together and use it to put on your hair. May your own case never be like that. God always demands obedience before he will deliver his blessings. Blessings are not difficult. Only the obedient can assess the blessings. Number what now? Number what? Number five. Important fact of obedience of faith is it costs less to obey God, to obey than to pray. 1 Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. It costs less. And Samuel said, had the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is what? I can't hear you. Better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey God and his instructions is better than for you to go to a mountain of 670 staircase and go and sacrifice there. To obey God is better for you to obey God than to sacrifice to God. If, for example, God said that we must not steal, and then a man goes to steal and he brings the tithe to the church. He says, God, I want to give you, they said they should give 10%. I want to give 30% to show you that you are very big in my sight. It's a waste of seed. It's a waste of seed. In a church like this, we don't need such seed. Obedience must be done. And this obedience is better than to pray. Many love prayer. Prayer is good. I love praying. I love praying, and God knows it. But prayer is not a substitute to obedience. For example, if you're a woman and your husband gives you an instruction and you don't obey, but you now go to one your friend takes you to one place. You say, my husband is not doing well to me, and now takes you to one place. And then in that place, they give you this, they give you that, or they tell you to be praying. They say, oh, yeah, begin to pray. Pray 7 days. You didn't need that 7 days prayer. You only need 1 minute of obedience. Just 1 minute of obedience. You don't need to pray again, because he will begin to listen to your to what you are saying. But once you have disobeyed, everything you say is like trash in his ears. He doesn't want to hear you. So obedience is better than to stay in the place of prayer all night. Say, why are you praying? I'm praying all night that my husband should hear me and should love me. But the next instruction he says, you trash it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than praying. God will prefer that you obey him than you come to the church and begin to pray without obeying him. May the Lord give us understanding. I said, may the Lord give us understanding. Number E, or that's 6. It costs less to obey than to pray. Have I said that already? Alright, next one, F, is your obedience always pleases God. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God is pleased with your obedience. Anytime you obey God, God is happy with you. In Genesis 22, from verse 16 to 18, you know the story very well of Abraham, when Abraham took his son for sacrifice. And God said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, that is, because you have obeyed me, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me, that in bless. Abraham did not pray for the blessing. There was no account here that Abraham went for fasting for 70 days. There was no account here that Abraham even did night vigil. The only thing that Abraham did was obey God's instruction, which it gave in Genesis 22 verse 1. And God did tempt Abraham. And God said unto him, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and then go to Mount Moriah. And he traveled there for 3 days before he could get there. And then he had to go and slaughter him there. Somebody is here today. The spirit of obedience of faith comes on you today in Jesus' name. Reason why many prayers are not answered is because the circle of obedience is missing. For example, it costs better to obey the law of giving. It is easier to obey the law of giving than to be praying for wealth. You can pray from now to tomorrow. In Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. 38, not 39. So if you can give, then you are blessed. If you are ready to give, you are blessed. 2 Corinthians 9, I think verse 6. He that sweareth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that sweareth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. It's natural. If you can obey the law of giving, you are set for wealth. If you can resist not to give, then you are set for poverty. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. There's he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There's he that withholdeth more than his needs, yet he turneth to penury. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. So when you are a man that is a giver, you are set for wealth. Obedience pays. Turn to your neighbor and say, obedience pays. Obedience always pays. Obedience. You cannot obey and regret your obeying. You cannot be obedient and regret that you obey. Have you ever seen anybody regret that I regret that I obeyed God? I have never seen one. Say, I regret it that I obeyed God. If you have seen one, let me know. That will say, I'm not happy that I listened to what God told me to do. I'm not happy. It's just a matter of time. Because God is never slow. I say, God is never slow. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Number G. Your obedience shows that you fear God. Psalm 112 verse 1. When you obey God, it shows you fear God. Those that obey God, they fear God. If you disobey God, you don't fear God. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment. When you obey God, then he is ready to intervene in your case. Sharp, sharp. Someone say sharp, sharp. God is ready to intervene. Sharp, sharp. In that story in John chapter 2, you know the story very well, when Jesus was invited to Cana of Galilee for that wedding. And then the wine finished. And Jesus said, pour water into this pot. If they disobeyed, the sharp, sharp miracle of the wine wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. If you are ready to obey God, God is ready to bless you berekatetiously. He's ready to bless you massively. But as long as you want to do your mind, no, I will do my own thing. Nobody can direct me. Nobody can tell me how to run my life. I'm a free man. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. You are not a free man. Because your life is not your own. Your life is for God. And he will never take it away from you in Jesus' name. You will live long in Jesus' name. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? So your obedience shows you fear God. And H, and I think I better stop there because of our time. Important fact of obedience of faith is that it is your action that makes God to react to you. Absolute obedience in God results in absolute blessing. When your action of obedience is pure, God will intervene in your matter. If you obey him, you will listen to his instructions, he will give you your blessing. If you listen to what he's telling you, there are some things that you as you are seated here today, God have told you personally one-on-one that you should do. You refuse to do it. There are some things that God have told you personally, that is, he woke you up in the night and he told you this is what to do. There are some things that God sent people to you that are pure pastors and prophets and told you, this is what you are to do. This is what you are to do. This is what you are to do. They say, no, nobody can direct me on how to do it. Then these are the things that hinders divine intervention. Friends, the good news is this. If you can begin to obey him today, divine intervention will come. That's the good news. If from today, you say, God, anything you tell me to do, I will do it. Any action you tell me to take, I will take it. Any place you tell me to go, I will go there. Anything you have instructed me to do, I will do it. Then you have signed up for divine intervention. My prayer for everyone here today is that you will never miss your divine intervention. You will never miss your divine intervention.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.